dedicated to the strength of the nation. Proudly, we hail. Yes, proudly we hail, starring June Havoc in Two's a Crowd, the United States Army and United States Air Force presentation. Now here is our producer, the well-known Hollywood showman, C.P. McGregor.
Thank you, and greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to your Theater of Stars, where each week the famed motion picture personalities of Hollywood join us for your entertainment in plays we know you'll enjoy. Our star is the beauteous June Havoc, who came to the cinema for many stage hits on Broadway. In our story, Miss Havoc reverses the normal conception of the Eternal Triangle, where two women pursue one man. So, long as the triangle exists, there is calm and serenity. And until all elements are back in their accustomed places, when the triangle is broken, there is nothing but unhappiness for each. In just a moment, we'll have the curtain for Act One of Two's a Crowd. Here first is Wendell Niles with an important message.
The young man in the uniform of the United States Army or United States Air Force has an aim in life and is demonstrating his desire to make the most of his opportunities. The career soldier or airman wearing that uniform has chosen his career after careful consideration. He knows that the opportunities are there and that their full realization depends only on his own determination. His future is bright, and he has the satisfying knowledge that above everything else, he is serving his country. Now, once again, our producer.
It's curtain time, and here's Act One of Two's a Crowd, starring June Havoc as Sue Clark. It was a big night for Sue Clark. In fact, it would have been a big night for any girl in her right mind. A date at the famed Tropic Quarter with Bill Duncan, one of New York City's fastest-rising young lawyers. They were getting along fine until the floor show and a beautiful singer came along.
Well, really, Billy Boy, you can break it off now. People are starting to look.
Huh? I'm sorry. Gee, I was carried away. This girl is so terrific. What a voice.
And from the high-octane look you've been giving her, I'd say she had some other points in addition.
Yeah, you can say that again. The girl has everything. Voice, looks, figure, personality, and taste.
She's all right.
Well, she's wonderful. What'd you say her name was, Sue?
I didn't.
Well, what is it?
Evans. Jean Evans.
Oh, man, I'd give a month's pay to meet her.
Well, despite that piker offer, I guess I better help you clear that stardust out of your eyes.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I read that in a Beatrice Fairfax column once.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I'll introduce you to her. That'll show you what an all-round good fellow I am, brother.
You know her?
Well, slightly. We played hooky from the same detention school together.
Well, why didn't you say so?
Well, I...
Come on, let's go, let's
all
go.
All right, all right. Keep your Van Heusen on. Now put your hot little hand in mine like this. There, now, follow me.
Come in.
Hi, honey child. In the skin.
Oh, but come in. It's so wonderful to see you again.
Well, it's so wonderful of you to lie like that. Oh, Miss Evans, Mr. Duncan.
How do you do?
Oh, very happy to know you, Mr. Duncan.
Miss Evans, I just had to come back here tonight to tell you how great you were. You were simply
wonderful.
Before
this gets too far, Jeannie dear, I think I'd better warn you. Bill here is one of humanity's lowest forms of animal life.
Huh?
He, if you'll pardon the expression, he's a lawyer. Be careful.
Oh, now, lay off, will you, Sue? Look, Miss Evans, don't listen to her. Why, I wouldn't have dreamed of barging in here like this on you if Sue hadn't insisted.
Oh,
it was just...
Oh, so very amusing. Love that boy.
Oh.
Well, I think we better run along now, Jean. See, it isn't every day I can wangle a date out of Tall Dark and Gregory Peck here. Come along, Billy boy. So long, Jean.
Yeah, right away. Look, Miss Evans, I don't want you to get the wrong impression of me, but will you... Well, that is, will you give me another chance to explain?
Oh, well, really, I...
Tomorrow for lunch, perhaps?
Oh, but what about Sue?
Oh, Sue understands. We're just old friends.
Oh yes, old friends.
How about lunch
Sue
at the closet?
Oh, I don't think.
At one?
You better grab it, kid. If you don't, I will.
Very well. At one.
My slightly warmed over intro started a king-sized forest fire. Bill Squire Jean to every spot in town and out of. Despite my care, I found myself being dragged along on some of these jaunts. They even lured me skiing, Oh, I'll never forget it. It was a mean, cold day, and...
Oh, gosh, that was the most fun I've had in years.
Oh, me too, Bill.
How about you, Sue?
Well, I'm not saying. Besides, I think I've got my death of cold.
Oh,
no, sir, I'm not long for this war.
Why, Sue, you look wonderful.
But I feel awful.
Oh, you know, I can't remember when I've liked two people so much.
Insults will get you nowhere.
Oh, we like you better than anyone, too, Jean.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, I will. Jean, I like you better than anyone I've ever known. Anyone.
Well, I like you better than anyone, too, Bill.
Shall I ride on the running board?
No, please? No, stay here.
Thanks a lot.
I'm ashamed of what I have to say.
Well, you never have been.
Oh, what were you going to say to me?
Go ahead, I'm not listening.
Well, it's Jean. Oh, Jean, I love you.
Oh, original.
I love you too, Bill.
Will you marry me?
Yes, I will.
Mush.
Will you kiss me while I keep my eyes on the road?
Yes. Oh, Bill.
Anyone for tennis? The whole darn thing went at this pace. They agreed on a wedding date for the following week. And the reason for this long delay was that they didn't want to rush into it, you know. But even now, they wouldn't leave me out of it. They even persisted in dragging me along to help pick out their furnishings. Now, look, you two. You've bought enough stuff to redo Grand Central and half the annex.
Oh, but, Sue, dear, there are lots of things we're scrimping on. We still need a combination.
Be specific. Combination girdle or phonograph?
Oh, stop with a bad gag.
All right, forgive me. Well, anyway, kiddies, I'd rather you didn't get one.
Well, why not?
I have my reasons.
What?
Well, all right. I already bought you one for your wedding gift there.
Oh,
well,
Sue.
Susie.
Oh, Sue, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not sorry you're giving us one.
No.
I mean, you shouldn't have done it.
Well, I know I should.
We don't deserve it.
That's true.
No, it isn't.
Is it, a modern cabinet?
Uh-uh.
Is it Tudor?
Well, what is it?
Provincial.
Wonderful.
Good.
You better wait till you see it, baby. They were married the usual way, took the usual honeymoon for the usual time, and did the usual thing. They even sent me the usual card. They forgot to mark the location of their room. And I dropped up to their apartment to visit them after they got back.
Sue, dear, I can't get over how you look. You're simply ravishing.
Oh, I doubt that.
Oh, Jean's right. You do look better. Well, what have you been doing yourself while we were away?
The same. No sleep, no exercise, irregular meals, too much to drink, and a formaldehyde facial every day.
Same, Sue,
all right. I must say, you kids look swell. Marriage has done something for you.
Mm. Oh, it's wonderful.
Oh, it sure is, ain't it?
Before this turns into a clinch, tell me something more about yourself, huh? What's the deal for the future?
No deal. I'll still keep right on being a small-time lawyer.
Oh, you are not small-time, darling. You're the best in the profession.
Damning with faint praise.
Well, anyway, that's a setup, Sue, except that Jean's through with show business.
That's to be expected. Huh?
Well, yes, but...
But what, Jean?
You see, it's this way. A year ago, I cut an audition record for the Distingue Cosmetic people. Nothing happened. But today, I got a phone call from Mr. Glenn Hall, the account executive.
Yeah, oh.
He said the sponsor had played the record again and liked it better.
Well, really?
He thought probably the man hadn't even heard it till now. You know how they are.
Yeah, I know.
Well, honey, what are you going to do about it?
Oh, whatever Bill wants. If he thinks I should turn it down, I will.
Well, you know how I feel about it.
Of course, it'd be such a big help right now. Financially, I mean. Oh, we spent more on our furniture than we should have.
And so did I.
Even if I only took the job for 13 weeks, it'd put us in the clear.
Well, we'll get caught up. Now, you don't have to work.
But it isn't work, darling. I love it. And, Sue, don't you think it'd be smart of us to go right ahead and take the offer?
Well, I refuse to put my chin out. I've got a good solution, though.
What?
You still have that phonograph I gave you? Still have some recordings of your voice?
Well, sure.
Well, put one on. And after we've heard it, we'll let your handsome mate decide if the palpitating public is to be denied the pleasure of your golden voice.
Oh.
Should I, Bill?
That's silly. It wouldn't make any difference to me.
Oh. All right, I'll do it.
Good girl.
Let me see. Which record?
Here. All right. Might make me the cornball of all time, but I like it. Hey, your theme song, huh, Jean?
Oh, it is a beautiful song. Okay, here it is.
Despite Bill's alleged indifference, the song did things to him. And by the time the record was over, he was quiet. He agreed to let Jean appear on the air for 13 weeks. And a few weeks after the program started, I bumped into Bill in a cocktail lounge, alone.
Sue!
How are you?
The way I always am, dear. Hey, where's Jean?
Rehearsing.
Oh. And you're waiting to pick her up?
Yeah. I'll pick her up and drive her to the sponsor's place for a meeting, and then I'll drive her to the agency office, and then I'll drive her to the recording studio, and then I'll drive her home.
You'd be in a tough spot if they took away your driver's license.
Oh, I'm sick of the whole business.
Oh, brace up, Daddy. 13 weeks isn't forever.
Well, no, not forever.
We finally got together about a month or so later. Just after one of Jean's broadcasts. We went to one of the better night spots, and for a while, it seemed like old times.
So you don't know how wonderful it is seeing you again.
Oh, thanks. 2 months hasn't changed you much, either.
No.
And a cigarette?
No, thanks. I gave him up. You see, I don't want to overdo anything as long as I'm on the air.
So, Bill, how about you?
Sure, I'm just a lawyer. I can enjoy life.
Yeah, not with a clear conscience, I'll bet.
Jean, feel like a little food now?
Oh, later. I'm not hungry yet.
Well, don't tell me you've given up eating.
No. Eating doesn't affect the voice. But, I have a surprise for you both.
Well?
My option has been picked up for another 13 weeks. Isn't that wonderful?
Well,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Wonderful. Just wonderful.
Somewhere along the line, Jean seemed to have forgotten her promise to quit after the first 13 weeks. Bill didn't bother to bring it up. He seemed resigned to his fate. One night, soon after, they invited me up for dinner. This is a terrific dessert, baby.
It should be. She bought it with her own little hands.
Oh, you mean
don't let Bill fool you, Sue. He likes this tort much better than anything I could bake.
Well, I didn't mean it the way it sounded. This was a pretty good meal. All my favorite stuff.
Fattening you for the kill.
Hey, maybe you've got something there. Jean, something on your little mind?
Oh, we'll discuss it later.
I'd rather discuss it now. Start talking.
Well, it's just that they're talking about taking the show to Hollywood for a few weeks.
Nothing definite yet.
Well, they have sort of agreed it would be a good idea.
Then it's set?
Yes.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I left my head in the other room.
Stick around, Sue. I want a witness. Jean, you're not going.
Oh, but darling, I've practiced.
I said you're not going.
Look, I am going.
Okay, go. But if you do, don't bother coming back.
Bill!
I mean it. Now, if you go, it's all off.
Very well, then it's all off. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving.
May I get a word?
What have you got to say?
Good night.
We pause briefly from our story To the Crowd, starring June Havoc, to bring you an important message from our government.
These are fast-moving times, and for a group of young men in the United States Air Force, they are especially exciting and important. You can be one of these young men if you have had 2 years of college or can pass an equivalent examination. If you are 20 to 26 and one-half years old and physically fit, you will receive the finest aviation training in the world as an Air Force aviation cadet. You'll learn to fly with the world's finest Air Force, and when you complete your course successfully, you'll win your pilot's wings, be commissioned a second lieutenant in the U.S. Air Force Reserve, and ordered to active duty. Outstanding members of each cadet pilot class receive regular commissions immediately upon graduation. Others have an excellent opportunity to qualify for a regular commission during their active duty tour. So take a tip, men. Find out now if you can qualify for aviation cadet training. Get your application right away at your nearest Air Force base or U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force recruiting station.
Our curtain rises on Act Two of Two's a Crowd, starring June Havoc as Sue Clark. Sue's friend, Jean, went to Hollywood against her husband's wishes, and as a result, the marriage went apart. Jean and Bill broke up housekeeping and sold all the furniture. The only good Sue could find in this was that she finally got back the phonograph combination she'd given them. Jean turned out to be a big success in Hollywood, so big that her sponsor suddenly decided to bring the show back to New York. Sue decided to see her.
Anybody home?
Oh, Sue. Well, come on in, won't
you? I don't mind if I do. Mm-hmm. Quite a batch of rooms here. What is it, anyway? The bridal... yes, sir. Quite a suite, all right.
Oh, you're looking the same as always, Sue.
Is that good?
That's good.
Good.
Well, what's new?
Nothing in particular. Same old grind. Stork, 21, Rebambleur, El Morocco, and in really desperate moments, Lindy's. What's with you?
Or, as you probably know, I've been very lucky. My last Hooper was 13.
I hope you're not superstitious.
No, no, I'm not. That's one time when 13 is lucky.
Ah. Well, I'm glad to hear you're getting the breaks.
Are you?
What do you mean?
Nothing. I'm sorry. It's just that I know how you feel about Bill. And...
Oh, forget it. We're just good friends. I haven't got any more chance with him than Daisy May has with little Abner.
Oh, Sue, don't pay any attention to what I say. I'm upset.
Well, how come, honey?
Well, I'm changing my mind about a lot of things.
Don't let it throw you. You'll get over it.
I don't think so. The things I once thought so important seem suddenly so unimportant.
Uh-huh.
Nothing seems to matter anymore.
Nothing?
Nothing. By the way, Sue, whatever happened to that phonograph combination I returned to you?
Oh, that old thing.
Yes, that old thing. Where is it?
Why?
Oh, nothing. I was just wondering.
It's all the same to you. I'd rather you didn't call me that.
Why not? Don't you like the name, Susie?
Only one other guy ever called me that, and he only kept it up until I was old enough to pull a trigger.
Okay. Susan.
Better.
Have another drink.
No, not now.
Well, what's new?
Nothing that could interest a lawyer.
Anything that's interest anyone else?
Mm-hmm. I hear Jean's back in town again.
So what?
Well, I just thought I'd call it to your honor's attention. Say, our program will be on in a second. Care to catch it?
No.
Well, okay. You don't have to get so hot about it. I just thought...
No, I wouldn't. I don't want to hear her or any other singer. Is that clear?
You don't have to shriek. I haven't reached the hearing aid stage yet, you know.
Well, I just don't want to hear any more about her, that's all.
You won't.
Oh. I'm sorry, Sue. I didn't mean to blow my top like that.
Relax. All is forgiven.
Thanks. You're a nice kid, Sue. Real nice.
A lot of fun at a party, too.
Yeah, it's too bad she couldn't have had some of your loyalty.
Oh, don't blame her, Bill.
Yeah, you're right. Seems like you're always right.
I wouldn't say that.
Maybe things would have turned out better all around if you had.
Had what?
Oh, I was just thinking. I always seem so relaxed around you. You understand me.
Careful, barrister. You're talking yourself into something.
Maybe I am.
All right. So maybe I was getting Bill on the bounce, and maybe I wasn't. Either way, it's awfully nice to know I can wield that old black magic stuff. I thought over this new turn of events for a long time. A long time. Then, just like that, I made up my mind. I went to an antique shop on Upper Third Avenue.
Who's that?
The Good Humor Girl.
What can I do for you?
You buy and sell furniture?
Well, it's good.
Look, pal, anything I have is good.
Perhaps.
I didn't come here to swap insults, please. I've got a good phonograph combination which I'd like you to keep.
I have very few calls for things like that.
I know, that's why I'm here.
I fail to follow you.
Then I'll make deeper tracks. Now, what's this I'm holding in my hand?
A $20 bill.
Right. Now, this is what I want you to do. You'll take my phonograph combination, and you'll keep it here. Miss Evans, please. Miss Clark calling. Uh-huh. Oh, hello, Jean. Sue speaking. Swell. Jean, I've got some news for you. Remember that phonograph you asked about? Uh-huh. Well, I found out where it is. It's at an antique shop on 3rd Avenue, just off 54th Street. 3rd Avenue Antique Shop, it's called. What? Well, it's being auctioned off tomorrow, and I... Oh. Oh, you're not interested. Well, I thought you... Oh. Oh, I see. Well, I just wanted to mention it. That's all. Okay, goodbye. Hello, Bill? Sue. Fine, thanks. Bill, dear, remember that phonograph combination I gave you once? Uh-huh. Well, I found out where it is. Being auctioned off at a little antique shop on 3rd Avenue just off 54th Street, and... What? You don't? Oh, I see. Well, that's all I called about. Don't forget our date tonight. Yes, I know. I was only kidding. Ah, here. Here, I'll blow you a nice kiss over the phone. Next morning, I hopped a cab to the antique shop. A big sign said auction sale in red neon letters. By the time I got in, the auction was pretty well underway and the place was filled with cash customers.
And now we come to one of the finest pieces of furniture in the collection. A hand-carved provincial phonograph radio combination in perfect condition. Do I hear an opening bid?
$100.
Oh, now the gentleman is joking, of course. The radio mechanism alone is worth much more than that. The cabinet is a genuine antique reproduction. Now, let us get down to business. May I have an opening bid?
$200.
Well, it's much too low, but we'll open with that anyway. Do I hear another bid?
$300.
$400.
$400.
$450.
$450.
$500.
$550. $650. Do I hear more? $650 bid. Going,
hey,
gone.
Wait.
Sold to the lady.
Hey,
I'm not through yet.
You hurried that sale. You didn't give me a fair chance to bid.
Something's fishy here.
Sorry, the sale is made to Miss Sue Clark. Now, the next article is this beautiful piece.
Well, I beat it out of there and got away as fast as I could without sacrificing my ladylike dignity. And then I had the combination delivered to my place right away. And right after, things began to pop.
Sue, where are you?
Well, really, do you always make it a point to enter a room without knocking, Mr.
Sorry,
Duncan?
Sue, but I was in a hurry.
A hurry about what?
To talk.
Well, wait a minute, dear. You rushed up here just to talk?
Yes. Before we talk, though, isn't that my radio combination?
We're not even married yet, and the man claims only...
Well, I'd like to buy it back. It doesn't go in this place of yours at all.
Well, now, that's pretty funny. I thought it fit in just peachy.
Well, not from all angles.
Wait.
Well, Sue, I want that thing. What do you take for it?
It isn't for sale.
$700?
I don't even know the condition it's in. Might not work.
Well, the auctioneer said it was in fine condition.
You can't believe those fellows.
Well, I want it anyway.
All right. First, I want to be sure it runs. I'll pick a record. Any preference?
No, anyone at all.
All right, then I'll try this one on top. It'll have to warm up, you understand.
This night is
recognize
ours.
The tune?
Yeah.
Kind of loud. I'll turn it down.
She's got a beautiful voice.
She has, all right. Look, Bill, I'd like to sell you the machine, but someone else wants it, too.
Who?
I do.
Jean.
I want the set.
Yeah, but I have a claim on it, too.
I have a better claim. I'll leave it up to Sue. How about it?
Well, I guess the best thing I'd better do is imitate that Bible story, where somebody solved a question like this by cutting a disputed property in two. Shall I get a small saw?
No, don't bother. Let Jean have it.
No, I've changed my mind. Let Bill have it.
Of course, you two dopes realize you're both talking like Mortimer Snerd. This phonograph belongs to you both, and you belong with it.
Oh, but Sue... I thought you and Bill...
Nothing to it. Just friends and all like that.
But I heard that...
Malicious gossip? Started by me. No, Kitty. You and this part-time Romeo belong together.
You're sure?
Sure. I'm sure. You don't catch me tying myself down to somebody as undependable as him.
Uh-huh. Great kidder, aren't you?
I'll get by. Oh, go on. Take her in your arms. I won't look.
But Jean, I...
Yes, Bill?
Jean... Will you take me back?
Oh, Bill. Oh, darling, I missed you so.
Before this gets completely out of hand, do you mind running along, please? Kindly take your infernal machine and leave me to my tatting and my memories.
Sue, I can't thank you enough.
Don't take the gadget till the record is done. Do you mind?
Curtain falls on the final act of Who's a Crowd. Our star, June Havoc, will return for a curtain call after this timely message from Wendell Niles.
Now, for you young men who want the kind of education only travel can give you, for you men who want to earn while you learn, the United States Army is holding open the door to Opportunity Unlimited. Listen to this. You can travel to Europe or the Far East. You can see all the famous historic places you've only read about or seen in the movies. This opportunity is yours when you enlist for 3 or more years in the United States Army. Yes, enlist and off you go to Europe, to Japan, to the places you've always wanted to see. And that good Army pay, plus 20% for overseas service, comes your way every month. More, the peacetime United States Army offered you a career in special training and other advantages possible only in the Army. Quarters, clothing, food, and medical care are yours in addition to your pay. Remember, there's travel, education, and a bright, secure future ahead in the United States Army. You can find out all the details very easily. Go to your local U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force recruiting station now. Now, once again, at the microphone, our star, June Havoc, and our producer.
A grand performance, June. You've made your debut in our theater, an auspicious occasion.
Thank you. I've wanted to do one of your shows for a long time, C.B.
We've wanted you for a long time, but your picture schedule has been very heavy. And by the way, since you didn't land your man in our play, it looks like we've started to cycle all over again from the Iron Curtain on you.
Well, I didn't get Dana Andrews in the Iron Curtain, didn't try for Gregory Peck in Gentleman's Agreement, and I didn't go after Dan Dalian when my baby smiles at me. But I got a good grip on Alan Ladd in my newest from Paramount, Chicago Deadline.
Well, that's the picture based on Tiffany Thayer's novel, One Woman.
Mm-hmm, and it's a fine suspense story. I think you'll like it, C.P.
I know I will. After waiting for 12 years while Paramount has been working on it, and then they found that all they needed was June Havoc.
Well, well. Say, where have you been getting all this inside information?
Confidentially, a very good authority, a distinguished Hollywood producer.
Oh, I'm curious.
The producer of Sam Spade and the Philip Morris Playhouse, Bill Spears, your husband, remember?
Aren't you afraid that Bill might be just a little bit biased in
He'd
my favor?
He better be.
You know, I was almost afraid to bring Bill along with me to the studio. You know how producers are when they get behind the glass partition. Everything goes black.
Well, he's always welcome. And we hope that you'll be with us again before too long, Joan.
Thank you, C.P., I will. Now tell me, who's playing here next week?
Next week, June, and ladies and gentlemen, the West joins the East in a bang-up Western comedy romance starring Rod Cameron and titled Roundup in Madison Square. Rod, true to his picture parts, is the cowboy star of the great annual Garden Rodeo. He moves from rodeo to Romeo, from Madison Square to becoming a society square, and back again to the romance of the West, all with the speed equaled only by the treatment he deals out to the fast existing nuisance.
Oh, that sounds fine. And Bill and I'll both be listening. Bye, C.P.
Goodbye, June Havoc. Be sure to join us next week, ladies and gentlemen, when we bring you Rod Cameron in Roundup in Madison Square. Until then, this is C.P. McGregor saying thanks for listening and cheerio from Hollywood.
June Havoc appears with the courtesy of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee, which arranges for the appearance of all stars on this program. The script was by Bill Dench, with music under the direction of Eddie Scrivani. This program is transcribed in Hollywood for release at this time. Wendell Niles speaking.